Okay, so this is harvest, and we're going to think about one or two things that harvest teaches us. And one of the things it teaches us, I think, as we're going to listen to God's word, is to be thankful. And in fact, if you read through the Bible, all over the place, lots of things that tell us about being thankful. And Alec's going to come and read some text from the Psalms and from the New Testament as well about being thankful. Alec.
Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. All the angels were standing round the throne and around the elders and the 4 living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." This is God's word.
Now, I don't know, I hope you can hear in that. That was from, we could have been reading here all day, actually. Give thanks, if you looked in the Bible for texts that tell us to give thanks. And you can hear from the Old Testament, the Psalms, you can hear in the New, God saying to his people, give thanks in all circumstances. And right at the end there, you can see heaven is a place where people give thanks and will always give thanks to God for his goodness. So, boys and girls, the first thing I want us to think about this morning is just being thankful, what we can be thankful for. Let's just, harvest teaches us to be thankful, to be a thankful people. And I want you just to think for a minute with me. We're going to watch something in a minute, and it just is a little video, and it's asking the question, what can you give thanks to God for? And you watch this, listen to this. And at the end, I'm going to ask you if you can think of any other things that we should be giving thanks to God for. Have a listen to this.
What are you thankful to God for?
I'm thankful for God for having a home.
I'm thankful to God for my church family.
I'm thankful to God for delicious food.
I'm so thankful to God for seeing family after so long apart.
I'm thankful to God for NHS.
I'm thankful to God that I've got a job that I really love doing.
I'm thankful to God for friends.
I'm thankful to God for opportunities to share life with my neighbours.
I'm thankful for Jesus coming into the world and saving all our lives.
I'm thankful to God for the gift of sport and exercise.
I'm thankful to God for life, for creating me, for knowing me better than I know myself.
I'm thankful to God for my mum and dad because they teach me about Jesus.
I'm really thankful to God for my family, for my wife, and for my three children.
I'm thankful to God for the endurance in my faith that He's given me, especially over the last 18 months.
I am thankful that God gave me family that make me feel safe and happy.
I'm thankful to God for doctors and nurses.
I'm thankful to God for His word that reveals His love for us and reveals His will for us.
I'm thankful to God for sweeties.
I'm so thankful to God for the free gift of salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds to mankind, to human beings like you and me, boys and girls. So, anybody else think of anything else to be thankful for, Jamie?
The world.
The world, yeah. I mean, we shouldn't take it for granted, should we? No. Anything else? Praise her. Say that again.
School.
That's a good one. I don't think anybody said school in the video, did they? That was good, yes. Jamie, keep going. Sunday school, truth tracker, yeah. It's great to have truth tracker back, isn't it? Well, listen, there's lots of reasons to give thanks, and harvest is just an opportunity to remind us, like, be thankful, let's remember. There were lots of things there, actually, about just what's happened recently to be thankful for, and I know Marilyn's going to pick some of that up in prayer as well later on, but so we want to be thankful. Okay, and just thinking about that, boys and girls, we want to think about what Harvest teaches us, and it teaches us to be thankful and to be grateful for all that God's given us. But I think Harvest teaches us to be careful. You remember right at the beginning when God made everything, when He made Adam and Eve, He taught them, He said to them, I want you to care for each other, but I also want you to care for the world that I've put you in. But do you remember what Adam and Eve did? They turned away and thought that they knew better than God, and well, we've been paying the consequences of that decision, and we've all made that decision, I'm afraid, ourselves as well, and that's meant that this world is not as God originally made it. That's meant that sin has come into the world, and the world is kind of broken and damaged in lots of ways, just in the same way that we are broken and damaged in lots of ways. And so, what does that mean? It means that we look out in our world, and although we have lots, we see there are other folk in the world that don't. We see that there are places where there's drought, and there's places where there's famine. And this is not the way that God meant it to be. So we need to be careful, because that's brought all sorts of things into our world like this. Have you heard about this, boys and girls? Climate change. There's the world on one side in the way that God made it perfect, but the problem is that there have always been problems, and it seems to be getting worse, doesn't it? I don't know if you've been thinking about this at school. I suspect you will be if you haven't been. The world seems to be getting warmer, doesn't it? All these things, temperature seem to be rising, and the ice cap seems to be melting, and the extremes of weather getting hotter, and then terrible rainstorms and everything, and there's so much going on, and scientists realize that human beings are part of that problem, because we've taken some of the things that God's given us, and we've been greedy with them. And maybe you also know then, have you heard about this? The conference that's coming up soon in Glasgow, when all the leaders of the world are going to come, and they're going to talk about climate change and what we can be doing to care for the world. Some of the things we need maybe to change about the way we do things. Have you done any of this in school? If you haven't, I'm sure you're going to get this stuff. And anybody think about how we could be more careful about what we do with what God has given us? How can we be more careful? Well, we can be lest wasteful. We can recycle things, can't we? We've been trying to do that more and more in recent years, trying to recycle. I'm sure you recycle at home, don't you? Or we can try and use fewer containers. We try to use less plastic. That's one of the things, isn't it? We're trying to do sometimes, try to use our cars less. Try to change what we put in our cars. Lots of different things. We can plant trees, plant different things that, again, are helpful. So we want to be careful about it. And actually, one of the things you'll find out a little bit later, the churches have been encouraged. This conference takes place in November. Churches have been encouraged to think about what we do in terms of caring for the world or the community around us. And they were looking for practical things. And one of the practical things they thought about in terms of the environment was just picking up litter in your community. And so we're intending to do that with a date in November. So look out for that. Listen for that. But think about how to be careful. Harvest teaches us to be thankful, but it also teaches us to be careful with what God has given us. How can we use it better? How can we address together some of the problems that our world is facing? These are big questions, but they're really important questions. And one of the things, though, looking to the future, that I wanted us to think about, I'll just go back to the careful there, is this. This is now looking ahead a little bit. Anybody know what's in there? It's bulbs. It is bulbs. Anybody know what kind of bulbs? Any guesses, Finlay? Any guesses, Jamie? Well, they look like onions, don't they? I think I've got one in here. Yeah, here's one. Here's one I made earlier. That looks like an onion, doesn't it? But it isn't an onion. Do you know what it is, Charlie? It is. It's a daffodil bulb. And in fact, I thought what I would do is, how do you know it's a daffodil bulb? How do you know? Oh, I mean, well, you remember what daffodils look like? That's where I needed that next foot. Remember that? That's what daffodils look like. So does that look like a daffodil? So where's that? Oh, I know. Maybe if I cut it open, we'll find one of those inside, will we? The tip of it's in the middle, Jamie. Where?
The very top of it.
Yeah, that's not bad, actually. I think I know what you're saying. But I was just going to say, let me just see. If I cut this open, do you think we're going to find a daffodil in there? So, will I cut it? No, that'd be a waste of a bulb, wouldn't it? But no, you know fine, if I cut this open, the daffodil's not in there. So, how do we get from here to the photo, sorry, to here? How do we get from here to here, Fraser? You drop it. Anywhere particular, or? Yes? In the ground. In the ground. Like this. You get one of these, or maybe this one, I think, says something like 10 centimeters. You maybe try, never mind. You take something like that, maybe, push it down into the ground, about 10 centimeters, and then you put your, yep, there you go. You put it in, and then, well, then what? When do you put it in, Finlay? What happens? You need to, that's right. You need to water it, and so you put it in on Thursday, and on Friday, is that right? After a day? After a little while, isn't it? It's got to take time, doesn't it? You put it in normally, well, this is the time to be putting bulbs into the ground or just in the next couple of months. And then you put them in, and then maybe, well, when? Maybe March, April, next year, we're going to get some flowers. That's right. We're going to get shoots like that. And then, amazingly, we're going to get beautiful, beautiful flowers like that. And you know, that's just a reminder that harvest makes us thankful, harvest makes us careful, but harvest also makes us hopeful. And this is really important, you know, boys and girls. It's amazing. You can put that in the ground, and if the rain falls and the sun shines, it's going to come up like a daffodil. And that makes us hopeful. And a lot of people will be, you know, not just putting daffodil bulbs, but over the next wee while, they'll be sowing all sorts of things into the ground, and the rain will fall. And that makes us hopeful that there'll be a harvest next year as well. And one of the things about that, though, and this is important again to say, because people sometimes look at the world and they think it's in our hands, our planet's in our hands, and they see not only the good things, but they see the bad things, like that climate change and like all the different problems that are all over, and they get very fearful, actually, not just careful, but they get fearful because they think the planet, the future, it's in our hands. We've got to do something. Or if we don't do anything, there's going to be problems. And it's true. We've got to be careful, but we've got to be hopeful because the planet actually in the future is not in our hands ultimately. It's in God's hands. And harvest reminds us of that. That actually it's in God's hands. And He's committed. He's not only committed to making sure that there's harvest each year, seed time in harvest, but actually He's committed to renewing and to restoring. I want us just together just to listen to some words that Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, which look forward to our world and to God's role in that world. Let me just grab my glasses and read from Romans 8. And Paul's very aware that this world, there's lots of things in this world that are wrong. There's suffering and there's sin. He's aware of that. But he says this in Romans 8 and 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself, the world, will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Paul's just saying there, God is committed to this world, and one day, He's going to restore it. He's going to restore it. And at the moment, He's working in it. And for His people, He's working all things together for good. I mean, that's just a reminder, again, that God is not given up on his world, that this world is still in his hands. And I want us just to think one last thing that makes us hopeful, that just reminds us that God has not given up on this planet. Harvest makes us thankful, it makes us careful, it makes us hopeful. It makes us hopeful because this is why we know God has not given up on the world. Because he sent Jesus into it. And we have to remember what happened when Jesus came. He came from heaven, remember? He came from outside of this world, but he came right down into this world, onto the earth, as a man, as a human being. He took flesh and blood. That was so, God was so committed to changing, to restoring this world, that Jesus came. And he was so committed to restoring that Jesus died. And in that sense, after he died, he went down. He was buried. He went down into the earth. But that wasn't the end of the story, was it? On the third day, what happened? That's right. He was raised. Raised from the dead. He came up, as it were, a new man, a new body, a new life. It was still Jesus. It was, in one sense, it was the same body he had, but it was a new body. Amazingly, remember when he appeared to his disciples, he showed them his hands, and they could see that it was his hands because it still had the wounds there. Still had the wounds, but the wounds were healed. And Jesus' body is a reminder that God is going to heal all the wounds of his people, but actually all the wounds of this world. Jesus' resurrection is the sign that God is going to change things, and that what looks really bad now in the world will one day be restored in a new heaven, in a new earth. And if you ask yourself, well, how can that be? How can we be sure that's going to happen? Because Jesus rose from the dead and promised when he went back into heaven that he would come back and one day he would restore everything. So when we say that the world is in God's hands and our future is in God's hands, we particularly remember it's in the hands of Jesus, who was crucified for us, for our sins, for our wrongdoing, but who was raised from the dead to give us new life and to give us an assurance that one day both we and the world around us will be fully and finally restored. And therefore, we can be thankful. We must, in the meantime, be careful, but particularly we can be hopeful because this world is in God's hands, Jesus is alive, and we must work with him until that day when he comes again and restores everything. Well, you've listened really well to that, boys and girls. Let's just close with a moment's prayer and then we'll sing together. Lord our God, we thank you for the good things that you have given us. We thank you for the things that we enjoy. We thank you for each other. We thank you, Lord, that we do have enough to eat, to drink. We thank you for our homes and families. We thank you again, above all, for Jesus, his life, his death for the wrongs that we had done, his resurrection, and the hope that the promise of his return brings. Lord, may we live in that hope. May we know that hope. And teach us, Lord Jesus, how to care for and to be good stewards of all that you've given us. Teach us what that means, we pray. And continue with us this day and on into this coming week we ask in your name and for your sake. Amen.